Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, you can follow us along on Facebook and Instagram, see pictures of our guests and some behind-the-scenes footage there. We're also on YouTube, so subscribe and hit the notification bell so you can find out when the latest episode drops. And we are on 18 different streaming platforms. Share this with your friends so we can get those great stories of Jesus out there. We also have a website at thetoddcast.ca with direct link to the latest episode. You can see some pictures of our staff. And friends, Disciple of City exists to equip Christians with simple tools on how to share the gospel and how to become disciple-making disciples. And we have a free video series that you can download and use for a Bible study and do your own group with this. And you can find that at our website at discipleofcity.ca. Well, friends, we're here again at the Behold Conference back in November of 2025, Disciple of City's first conference. And our whole crew is here, executive producer Caden Carlton and media relations Sheila Juti. And today we have the opportunity to talk to Disciple of City's Western Training Coordinator, Francisco Castro. Francisco shares his testimony on the Toddcast Season 1, Episode 15, but here today to fill us in on what has happened this past summer. The summer of 2025 is my brother Francisco Castro. Francisco.
Todd.
It's so good to see you, man.
You too, bro. It's been a while.
It has been a while. It's been quite a while, and this is such we're here at the Behold Conference, and it's been so crazy busy, and we're recording these podcasts and trying to catch all the sessions, and it's funny how things go, right? Because when we were doing stuff before, we're just together all the time in the cars, getting coffees, doing a session, and
miss those days.
We're right.
Yeah.
Miss those days. But dude, you were super busy this summer. You know, just at the beginning mentioned the Island Awaken, events that you did. Mm-hmm. And, bro, I admire you and respect you. You essentially gave up your entire summer with your family to do these Island Awaken events. So before you talk about what they are, just what encouraged you, or what was going on in your heart to even have these events?
Yeah, well, it started, I think, in 2021, when the Lord spoke to me about doing like a tent revival meeting right downtown Nanaimo, right in the middle of public. And so we ended up doing it. It was incredible. And we did it 3 years in a row. And then we took 2024 off. But actually, a friend of mine took it to Kamloops. He did it there while we took a break 2024. But yeah, and then towards the end of 2024, I just was like at my in-laws' house. We have like a gathering there. And it hit my spirit. And I felt like God was like, I want you to do the whole island. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I was thinking seven cities we're going to do like in the summer, you know, set up, pack up the tent and move on to the next city. And after praying, planning, casting vision, God formed a team. My friends from Kamloops, I pitched it to them and they were a huge part of it. And they were all in and they're like, yep. And they devoted their whole summer to come down to serve me and the island. And yeah, it was insane. And so when I said it to Dan, I said, Dan, what do you think about seven cities? We did Awaken Nanaimo. What do you think about Island Awaken? And he's like, seven cities? He's like, I feel like we need to do eight. I'm like, what? It's like, dude, seven's hard enough already. Let's add another one. And so, yeah, we went with eight.
Yeah, that's crazy. So what was the first city that you started in?
First city was North Island, Port Hardy.
Port Hardy in the North Island of Vancouver. And from that first one, can you share a testimony of something that happened at that first one?
One of the craziest testimonies. Port Hardy's pretty small, but we have a partnering church there. And so we set up the tent just one day. And one of the first altar calls, six people came up to receive Jesus. One of those guys was like 10 out of 10 drunk. And so we lead them to the Lord. We pray with them. And then with these events, like we did in 21, 22, 23, we usually do baptisms right away. and we're next to an ocean, right? So why wouldn't you? And so we explained to these six that received Jesus about baptism, read some verses, prepared them. I'm like, all right, if you guys are ready, let's go. And so six of them followed us into the ocean, including Alan, who is extremely intoxicated. But there's this genuineness there. And excuse me, I wrestled a little bit with, do I baptize this guy? Does he know what he's doing? Right? Like, is it going to mean anything? Is he going to remember? Right? All this kind of goes to your mind, but I'm like, I can't withhold Jesus from him. So he's the second guy to get baptized, and he comes over and he's kind of emotional and extremely intoxicated. And so I said, Alan, what are you leaving behind today? What are you burying today? He says, alcoholism, my addictions, my trauma, a lot of trauma in his family and stuff. And may or may have not been homeless. I'm not too sure. So I'm like, all right, man, well, God's going to encounter you and he's going to set you free, you know, saying things like that. And so I baptize him, dunk him in the water. It was cool too, cause we had a camera guy with a GoPro and he followed the baptism into the water, underwater. And so, and they came out. That's he comes, cool. Yeah, he comes out of the water and I start going after the spirit of addiction, alcoholism right away. And I'm like, I command spirit of alcoholism, come out of this man. And I just kept yelling, come out, come out, come out. And then all of a sudden he just starts like dry heaving, like almost throwing up. And he's like, and he's like, it's coming, it's coming. That's what he's like, give me a play-by-play. And I'm like, let it go, bro, it's coming. And I said, come out, come out. And he's just, it's coming out. And did that for, I don't know how long, maybe a few minutes. And then I just prayed for the Holy Spirit to come and fill him and you know, finish the baptisms. Went back to the event. And yeah, that was it. And a lot of other amazing things and miracles. People were healed. All those baptisms. One thing we learned, and I'll get back to Alan, but one thing we learned that we can, the past events were more like a service, worship, preach, altar call, baptism, and it worked, but geared to the lost. But we learned this summer to flow with the Spirit. So anytime there was a new wave of lost people, we would preach the gospel right away. It didn't matter what we were doing. We would literally just throw out a net. And we kind of joked about like the fish totally not even having a clue what's going on and getting caught in the net, you know, and we would see people come to Jesus like in waves, in different waves. And, we saw, so here's another one. This guy who doesn't even, he's not even under the tent. I'm praying for healing just from the front, not laying hands. I'm just praying healing as things pop in my head. Find out later that day, this guy was outside of the tent at a picnic table with his family. I find out he has a massive lump in his chest and he said it was gone. Mm. And I'm like, dude,
come on.
Why aren't you freaking out? And he was like so nonchalant about it. I'm like, dude, what? Bro, it's a miracle. It's Jesus, man. Do you believe in him? And he was just like, his mom believed in Jesus, but either way, it was a seed, an incredible seed, like so wild. But yeah, incredible things.
Like a lump on his chest?
Yeah, like it was a, he was saying it was a lump that he would be able to feel and maybe even visible, a big one on in his chest. Yeah. I don't know.
If you know what? Sometimes I think people are just so blown away.
Yeah.
It's like they don't know how to react, right? It's almost like a shock and stuff.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Maybe later he was like weeping.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, so then the weekend after we move on to, we go south to Camel River and then Courtney. I'll just quickly jump to Courtney. We stay at a friend's house. It's Sunday morning. We've had an incredible time. Courtney was one of the ones we were thinking about maybe canceling, and it was one of the most powerful ones. The presence of God in this field was wild, tangible. We had to call the cops on a guy. It was amazing. At the same, this, get this, such a contrast. There's this guy I'm preaching next to me, and he's trying to grab the mic and he wants to say something. And if I would have known what he was going to say, then I might be okay with him sharing. But he's like a little bit like unruly. and just being rude. And I'm like, just, what do you want to say? And he's just like, and then he just starts going off. And so I just turn away from him and I start keep preaching. And all of a sudden he starts getting worse. And now my people start coming in and like even laying hands on him, like escort him. And when they've laid hands on him, he just starts going nuts at that point. So then that's where we start calling the cops. As he's kind of manifesting, this lady in the front row starts manifesting. And she gets delivered completely of a spirit of lust. And it was so wild because, first of all, no one laid hands on her. It was just the presence of God.
Yeah.
And it was the contrast of both manifesting. She got delivered. He got arrested. And obviously, we would hope and pray for people to get everyone free, but people have their choice.
Yeah.
And that guy actually ended up being released next morning. And he was staying in his car at the field. And so they released him back at his vehicle, at his camper, and he starts banging a drum with amplification to kind of trying to mess with our sound. And it was actually, guy was speaking to me about, there was a frequency, there's a battle for the airwaves. As if it wasn't loud, but he was doing his thing. And he tried to get, he emailed us trying to get our names and stuff because he wanted to sue us for some reason. It was quite the ordeal, but nothing, totally just nothing. But so yeah, it was the opposition and the miracles, the salvations. There was many baptisms in Courtney. So it's Sunday morning and we're staying at a friend's house, and my friends Dan and Tama, who partnered with me to put Island Awakening on, they go to a church locally. And church happens, and then they're kind of rushing to leave at the end because they're meeting me for lunch. On the way out in the foyer, they see a man dressed nicely, a fresh haircut, nice shoes. And Dan, he's the kind of guy who likes to point that out. He'd be like, hey, nice fresh fade. And he says, hey, man, how you doing? Looking good, bro. Nice Air Jordans. And the guy's like, oh, thanks, man. And then Dan was like, hey, have you heard of the tent meetings that we're putting on? And he's like, oh, no. And he's like, oh, okay. He's like, but I was just baptized recently. And Dan's like, oh, where? He's like, Port Hardy. Dan's like, I might have a video of you. So Dan goes through his phone. Sure enough, the drunk guy is this guy. Shows it to him. Alan does not remember anything up until baptism and on. He tells Dan, he immediately sobered up, left town the next day, started treatment center. His life started getting restored back to his kids, doing court stuff for past decisions. And like God was started to rebuild and restore his life. At lunch, Dan shows me a video. This is how I found out, right? Of Alan. Dan's like, hey, do you recognize this guy? And as Dan didn't recognize him, this guy was unrecognizable. But when I saw it, I knew, even though he was unrecognizable, and I immediately wept. I was a total mess. I had to leave the table, and I was bawling. I'm like, this is it. This is why we're doing this. Like a life transformed. Yeah. And it kind of set also a precedent. I think God was doing it before in my life, but the importance of baptism as well, not just being symbolic, but an encounter that God wanted to meet. And it's not about the water, but obedience and faith. But yeah, God wanted to meet people in those waters. And we were seeing that in Courtney, that same city. A lady got healed of tinnitus, ringing in the ears, just by getting baptized. I didn't know she had it. I didn't pray for it. She gave her life to Jesus at the altar call. We walked 10 minutes, 15 minutes to the ocean, yeah, to baptize her and a bunch of others. Find out 15 minutes later when we're under the tent again, tonight is gone.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And just been nonstop stories like that in every city. And we almost canceled two or three of them because of lack of church partnership, venues falling through. And we just felt to just keep pushing through and felt like it was the Lord, you know, that I received this. And God brought together a team that literally gave up their whole summer. Some of them like just finished working, for example, like right as Island Awakening started. So they gave their summer.
Yeah.
And God just brought it all together. And the amount of miracles, deliverances, like notable demons manifesting, people getting delivered, salvations, baptisms. One thing to note, we noticed there was a move of God on children on this tour. We saw children as little as like four, but like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We saw a move of these kids at altar calls coming to the front on their own to receive Jesus. Wow. Even in one of the cities, Duncan, there was a neighborhood kid who was probably playing in the field who came up to receive Jesus. And he was old enough to make that decision. Like, we didn't have to like talk to his parents. I kind of made sure with, you know, my wife, who's a teacher and stuff, like what the rules and stuff are around that. There was this one's kind of crazy in Duncan. I'm doing an altar call and I'm actually learning a lot through this tour. God's teaching me stuff, like even during the altar calls, to wait through the awkwardness, the silence, no one's responding, to just wait, right? To not show my awkwardness, but just actually confidently waiting that there's someone here. There's got to be one, right? So I'm waiting. There's got to be one out there. And there's people in the tent, probably mostly Christian, a few people in the field watching from a distance. There's one. There's got to be one. There's got to be one. And I'm staring out maybe close to 5 minutes. And this little girl, about 10 or 11 years old, beautiful little girl, stands up with a group she's with, walks straight, starts walking to the tent. I point at her, "You." And she waves and she comes up, gives her life to Jesus, gets baptized. Her mom's new age, but encouraged her to have her own walk.
Nice.
The next day, she brings her sister and her friend, and they both give their lives to Jesus and get baptized.
Come on.
And we saw this in every city. Kids, man. Getting saved, getting wrecked.
Yeah, so good. So good, man. So good that you just kept on pressing, pressing through, and even the cities that you thought you would cancel, that you kept doing it. Bro, you have some new social media. Where can people, for people in the area that want to get connected with Francisco, with his ministry, volunteer, and stuff like that, where can people find your new ministry on? Not your new ministry, but your new ministry page.
Yeah, on Instagram, it's... Kingdom Activator. YouTube is Kingdom Activator as well. Facebook is just, I think, Francisco Castro. But if you look up Kingdom Activator handle, my handle, Kingdom Activator
handle.
Yeah.
Your handle. That's Fran's handle, friends. And we'll put that in the description too, so you connect with, thanks a lot, Francisco. I mean, I knew we were following you along and stuff, but thanks for sharing what happened with Island Awaken, bro.
My pleasure, bro.
Amen. Friends, so great to hear from Francisco. Also, we had the opportunity to chat with Wade and Jenny Sanderson. Now, they're from Saskatchewan and are part of a ministry called Inspire Fire Ministries. We interviewed Wade back in season 2, episode 28, and two episodes later, we interviewed Wade and Jenny together to talk about their ministry, Inspire Fire. So we get a chance to chat with them again today and find out what's been going on with their ministry, what's happening in Saskatchewan and across the country. And here they are to share their story right now. Wade and Jenny.
Hallelujah.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Welcome.
Blessed to be here.
Back again.
We're here in Ontario.
Yeah. Glad to have you in Ontario. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Wade had you individually, had you guys as a couple, and talked about your ministry over Zoom. This is so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah. One day, I'm believing for the ability to travel with the team. With Caden and Sheila, and do all the stuff live, because it's just so much better personal. So, but anyways, cool. Yeah. But as we talked about your ministry before, like in the last episode, can you just a quick refresher for anybody who might not have heard it, who are discovering this one first, then go back and listen to your testimony and you guys and stuff. But just to talk about your ministry, just give us a quick.
Okay, Inspire Fire Ministries was birthed about just over three years now. But it was in the making for me for 25 years. I've been born again for 25 years and really stepped into it with my wife 3 years ago. And it's been amazing ever since.
Yeah. And our mission statement is to preach the gospel, heal, and revive all people, in particular our Indigenous brothers and sisters, through the love of Jesus, prayer, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah, so we've been doing that. Our hearts have been that. But the question we've asked ourselves is there people out there going out there spreading the good news? Our hearts was this. We have to do something. That's what it was. That's how this all started. And God heard us. Yeah. And then the ministry has taken off. So it's been amazing ever since.
Yeah. And for you, it's First Nations that you're going to.
Yes. I've been going to churches and helping other churches in all walks of life, all denominations. They want to reach Indigenous ministries or in Indigenous communities in general, because they have surrounding reserves in some of the areas, cities, and then they get me to come in and speak on some issues or how they could evangelize our Indigenous people. And of course, the Holy Spirit has thrown me right into the field of that, and it's been amazing. It's been just a rocking. God's been doing such amazing things. We've been seeing things like I've never thought, or I could even imagine. That's what He's doing. So,
and some things have opened up to you since we've talked last, right? There's been a more of an opening to those communities.
You want to speak on that?
I want to honor as well, we have a media missionary named Josiah who's not here this weekend, but he's such a blessing to us, and he travels with Wade, I would say, like 90% of the time. Sometimes I stay home with our boy, and he's in his 20s, and he's just such a blessing. He's also Indigenous, and so through media, actually, like, he creates a lot of our reels, actually I think all of them, and he's like manned that for us, and he's also like part-time staff for us. So just honor him, because I remember it was a few months ago, back in the winter, we were on our way back from like a leadership meeting with our local church and some other leaders from the region, and I was just like, I just feel like something's gonna shift this week, you know. Yeah. Like Galatians says, like, you know, don't give up because you will reap if you don't, you know, if you don't lose heart or whatever.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was the week that the Lord really started to move, even on our media, and it broke over 100,000 views on one of the reels that He made from, it was called Cody First Nation, where you guys had gone. And we, it's not about us. Like, we really don't care if anyone remembers Wade and Jenny. Like, to God be the glory. We just want to see Him get all the glory for what He's doing in the earth, and that we get to play a small part in that. But yeah, that opened up way more invitations, because it opened up, like, people were seeing more, like, wow, God's moving in the First Nations people.
So we're looking at about 16 months ago.
About
16 months ago, it just exploded. One of our reels hit about 132,000 views on one. So there was about 13 following that one. So it was like a domino effect, one after the other. So there are, people are just coming on after that. It's just like all of a sudden I'm getting calls from drug dealers, radical overnight encounters with God right there. And then the presence of God coming and changing hearts. And that's what we've been experiencing. Mm-hmm. Like this, like a radical, like, drug dealer that's been for 18 years doesn't know the workforce, because he's been pushing this thing for a while, and then he radically got touched on a YouTube feed that we were pushing out that time, and he got really touched by it. And he said he saw the number and phoned right over the phone. I prayed, and there was deliverance over the phone, and he got set free. Over the phone, things like this have been exploding since we last talked, and then just one after the other, out of these places. Last time we talked, I went to another place where the Spirit of God just moved on it, and it's just one reserve after the other. And this is one place that I went, and one of the pastors phoned me. What I'm talking about the drug dealer and the pastor, this was the same place, but they didn't know they were talking to me at this almost the same time.
Right.
He invited me and said, would you come to this such and such a place at this time and say, yes, I'd love to be a blessing to your community. At the same time, God knew what he was doing and he got this guy touched powerfully by God, says, we should meet one day. I hope you come to Ontario, Southern Ontario. So it's one of the reserves in Southern Ontario. And then I got to come and I didn't. Then we realized it was like, I am coming in right into your area. I know that guy. And all just like a thought. It was a thought and it happened and materialized. It was really amazing. The pastor, we experienced such a move of the spirit when we went. And then I got to meet the guy and I talked to him and he just got touched powerfully again. It was a powerful testimony. Mm-hmm. And $110,000 worth of drugs were burnt.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, and all, man, you never thought he ever did stuff like that. Just the way his heart transformation was. Mm-hmm. It was so different. Such a kind-hearted man. A lot, you could feel the love coming off of this guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to coming into these areas. I'll pick him up to go do ministry.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing with some of these guys. They say, we want to be a part of what you're doing. And so we're experiencing a lot of that since we last talked. A lot of open doors. Yeah. I'm thinking about 26 to 27 reserves I've opened right up. And chiefs are calling me, chief and council member, mayor and council. They're saying, we need you to come in. It's just like, then the Spirit of God, like the door is wide open for that area to move, and the Holy Spirit just comes and starts invading the people. So when I went to this place where this pastor invited me with a drug dealer, they start opening houses. So we recorded some of it on our YouTube, Instagram, where we walked in, the power of God started hitting people. There was a lady with a dementia, this is like this. When I first walked in, she was just like paralyzed, looking at one. Then as I was ministering, her hand shot up like this, got touched powerfully. And then the man, the husband, looked at me and said, I've been wanting to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, in the name of Jesus, the power of God started. And I had to lift him up. He was like, luckily he was only 170 pounds, 160. And he was shaking. I don't know, the power of God. And I tried to put him on a chair and he was still shaking. For things like that were happening when I was over there. Yeah, it's really amazing. So it's been really amazing to connect. And so it's just like one thing transpiring to the other. And so just people calling. it's been amazing.
So good. Are these communities, I know you talked about coming to Southern Ontario, but are they primarily Saskatchewan?
No, majority of them are in Ontario.
Is that right? Yeah.
I mean, we're starting to come in here like they're flying me in.
He's coming back Thursday.
I'm coming back Thursday. I'm going back into one of the fly-in reserves in
By Thunder Bay,
yeah.
Wow.
So I'm going in there.
I'd say you'd almost stay, but Thunder Bay is like 15 hours from here.
So. Which doesn't feel like Ontario.
Yeah. So that's happening, and this is Addiction Awareness Month, right? I was getting calls from about four different reserves to come in at this time. So one beat the three to the punch. So I'm going to this place, and there was chiefs literally asking me to come.
So it's fascinating to me because you guys are living in Saskatchewan. So how are chiefs and communities hearing about you guys and your ministry in Ontario more so, say, than Sask?
Okay, we've done our circuit in Saskatchewan. We've been doing a ministry there this whole time.
Right.
So we've been hitting all those areas, and there's areas that we're visiting. So we're just monitoring some places where I've been. So Saskatchewan was that.
Okay.
But it was the same circuit. So God started branching you out, right? So that's what's happening. Then one place got hit by the power of God, and 10 other reserves heard about it. And God started moving on them, and then moving on, and the word gets out, just like Jesus. Jesus' day, the word got out, and there was hundreds, and then more and more start coming. So that's exactly what's happening. So the word of mouth and YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook have really ignited the ministry. And I didn't want that for a while, social media, but the Lord been putting it in my heart. And so all these, some of the people that have been calling us to go, been touched. And there's a lot of people monitoring us, saying we've been following you for a while, and then we want you to come. So I'm going into Quebec area as well in summer. They said we've been, so it's good to see that people are listening and watching and from coast to coast.
Yeah.
So that's really exploded in that area as well. So I'm thinking, how are you going to do this? God, I used to say to him, and I didn't know it was going to be social media because I didn't want nothing to do with it before.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, it's just, so now I'm just, praying into the areas that I'm going into. So it's been really amazing.
I see that too. I didn't really want to do so much social media, but you know, you want to get these positive things and messages out and put some positivity in all those things, like with the Lord and freedom and whatnot, because there's so much negativity, right? So do you guys find when you, I mean, now you're being asked to come in, but even being asked to come in, do you find that there's like a wall of resistance when you go into a place at first and trying to figure out what you're all about? Is there that kind of thing? And then as they see the love, do things change?
You want to speak on that? Yeah, when we're going into these areas, I'll be brutally honest. I don't really care if people don't. I just come at it from a place of compassion.
Yeah.
And so I'm there to bring the message, and I know there's hope because I got set free from what that, I know what they need. So I just come in and share what has happened to me. Yeah. And that just gravitates everything. It just breaks every wall.
Yeah.
Coming into that atmosphere. Yeah.
But I mean, like, do you see it? Because it, for me, I get joy, right? When I see somebody like at this conference or at one of our events that's come in to check it out, but they're sitting at the back. So there's some skepticism, which is okay. That's natural.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
But then they tangibly see it. I get a lot of joy when it becomes real to them. That's kind of what I mean. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, I always try to make an opportunity because I was that person. I was that person that come from the back, right? And just kind of monitoring it from a distance. And I always say it this way, when I'm in an atmosphere or a new reserve or a new church or a new arena, I always say, if I was these people, what would I want to hear? That's always, and I say, Lord, where are they? Where are they at?
Yeah.
And so it's really good when I come in, and so you have that. So the Holy Spirit really ministers in that area, and he starts to move on the people. And amazingly, people get healed. They're not even saved. Hey, eh? There's one that my wife just got texted to. I was at a meeting in Saskatoon. You want to mention that?
Yeah, you want to share? Because that's funny, because I was just going to ask you, what's the most amazing thing you've seen lately?
Man, there's been so many. Like, God is so faithful. But yeah, I just got a text a couple days ago. Wei was preaching at a church in Saskatoon that's mainly like outreach to Indigenous. And a guy, he was a carpenter, and he was off of work for 9 months because his hands were like locked up. Like, and they didn't know what it was. He went to so many doctors. They couldn't like give him any diagnosis, relief. And it was obviously affecting his livelihood, his mental health, all of that. And yeah,
I think they gave up on him or something.
I don't know. She didn't really say anything. Anyways, yeah, so Wei preached and prayed, and signs, wonders, and miracles broke out, and he has been pain-free ever since that night. That was 2 weeks ago. And so he's just so obviously thankful to Jesus. And I think he was planted at that church. So awesome to see pastors discipling, you know, the harvest.
We've seen curvatures of the spine straightening out. That was what, a month and a half ago in one of the isolated reserves.
Wow.
They were leaders, second in command to the church there in that area, and they're well known. And after they got their spine straightened out, he took a group of people and started evangelizing the other reserves after she got healed powerfully. I prayed for her, laid hands on her, and I gave her a word of knowledge. And she fell. I felt like when she fell, her spine straightened out by the power of God. And next 3 nights, she was dancing at the, and we were dancing till about 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning because of those meetings that were going 3.5 hours, and the place went crazy when they saw that.
Yeah,
they saw that lady got laid, and his husband was carrying her literally to the front of the altar with a little rolly thing on front of her, so she left it there.
Yeah,
and she started dancing.
So good.
That was one. That's another one. I'll give you another one. I was in a youth conference, and they brought this kid that was so messed right up. They took him to doctors, to every kind of doctor. And we started praying for him. He hasn't eaten, hasn't slept right. His eyes didn't look right. Everything wasn't right when he would come, and he thought he was going to have a heart attack or something. Laid hands on him, prayed for him, baptized him the next day. He forgot he was sick. He forgot that he lost his appetite. He forgot everything, and he was in the presence of God, and he was changed and transformed. His eyes became right. His appetite, he ate 3 plates. Yeah, he was out eating all of us. Her mom was a social worker, did not know God. She brought her son, and she couldn't believe the countenance on her face of his son, how his face changed, how his attitude changed, how his life changed. And the presence of God was so strong that it transformed him right in the very spot where that's what God is doing. That's what we've been seeing. And he was radically changed. And you know what happened? After that, he got fully set free. I really believe he was demonized. He got fully set free. Fully set free, and the joy of the Lord. I'd never seen him smile until after that. He was like really stern. Everything after that, every time he sees me now, he just has this big smile when I see him. It was such a blessing to see him every time he comes in, to Saskatoon. He'll try to. He knows which church I go to when I'm in Saskatoon. He comes to find me, gives me a hug and whatnot. It's so good to see that. But the thing was, the testimony was out of that is when his mom saw this, she says, I want what my son got. I led her to Jesus right there.
Yeah.
And they received Jesus. And now today they're serving the Lord, and they went to 5 reserves.
Wow.
After that, they went to go and share the testimony. It reminded me of the story when Jesus healed a man that had was demonized, that had 2,000 demons, and it came out because they went into the swine, right? That's the one. And they found him in his right mind, it said, when he was set free, and he was going to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, no, go into the cities to go and tell of what has happened to you. And that's what it felt like. Now they went to go and tell the story, and people were getting healed when they were telling their testimony to the reserves. That was one of the most amazing things that I've seen in that whole thing. Supernatural, powerful things happening, yeah.
That's so good. If people are hearing this and they're encouraged, where can they support you guys?
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, Inspire for Our Ministries. And right now we are a nonprofit, and so you can donate through e-transfer to inspirefireministries@gmail.com. We are in the process of becoming a charity, but we're a nonprofit for now.
Awesome. Well, we'll put all that stuff in the description. And I'm going to take your cue, Jenny, of just honoring, because, you know, in doing all these things in these ministries, you know, it needs a team, and to create a team. So I'm going to take your cue and thank my executive producer here, Caden Carlton, that's filmed all these episodes here at the Behold Conference, and
our social producer,
Sheila Juti. Mm-hmm. Hey, is that good, Sheila? Is that good? Is that right?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Media relations, just getting everything all set up and it's so good. And the same thing, right? We just want to share the love and joy of Jesus. So, guys, thank you so much for sharing with us of everything that's going on with your ministry. Appreciate you guys also coming here to Behold and Wade, you sharing the other day. That was really, really good. And like I said to you before, down or outside here, I've not heard you preach before. I've seen it. But man, if you get a chance to see Wade preach versus see it on social media, fire, bro. Inspire fire is right.
Hallelujah.
Fire.
Praise the Lord.
Just one more question for you. Man, what are you hoping to see across the Indigenous community?
Oh, well, I want the greatest revival to break out with fire, people getting filled with the Spirit of God, and that the love of God would be shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. But not just revival, but there would be a reformation that would lead to the greatest move of the Spirit of God. And we're not going to settle for anything less, but we're going to see the greatest harvest that the world has ever seen. That's my desire, and it's going to run from here, from coast to coast, and it's going to go into the other nations. Amen. And we're going to be the tree of the leaves of the tree, right?
Revelation 22:2 says, yes. Leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. And Canada, you know, the maple leaf, right, stands for healing. And so healing among our first peoples will spread healing to the nation and the nations. Amen.
Yes.
And I love, too, obviously, the sustainability, right? Like, we're even talking about in sessions today, right? Like, discipleship movements. So people getting saved, but discipled, yes, into healthy families, getting healed of trauma. Like, I can just see what God wants to do. And
exactly.
Yeah, just, we're blessed to partner
Kingdom
people,
families. Kingdom. There's not enough churches. Right. There's going to be kingdom families.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Kingdom families, and it's going to just spread like wildfire, and it's going to be like, one will be an example, and there'll be 10 that'll come out of that one family. Amen. 10 families, and it'll just spread like wildfire from house to house, community to community, province to province.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
One last quick testimony, too, like in altar calls, we're seeing so many children. But like so many little kids just coming for prayer, teenagers, and they're just asking for prayer for their families.
Yeah,
just so selfless. Just really beautiful what God is doing in our kids and our younger generation. God is so good.
Just amazing.
Family revival.
Amen.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you so much. Bless you.
Bless you.
Love to end a show in tears, Jenny. It's so good.
I'm like the weeping prophet. He's a happy evangelist.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thanks, everyone.